My name is Alan Morse, and I'm from Perry, Kansas, and I'm here to teach the history of the gospel. The history of the gospel. And the gospel I'm talking about is the gospel of salvation, that Jesus died for our sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. That's salvation for all those that truly believe that, for their salvation. We're going to start with Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, it's just right after Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then Acts. And I would like for you to write these numbers down. You can write them in the front of your Bible, or you can write them on a piece of paper. But that way, when we're done, you'll always have these references to go back to for your learning. And this will give you a way that you can talk to people and tell them about the gospel and share them the history of the gospel of Christ. In Acts chapter 9, we're starting just after Paul was standing there in Acts chapter 8 when Stephen was killed. And Paul was there, and he was standing there holding the coats of the people that were stoning him to death. And right after that, in chapter 9, it states, "And Saul," verse 1, "and Saul, yet breathing out threatens and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, and it would be found any of the way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem." Saul of Tarsus was a Jew of all Jews. He was a Pharisee, very likely a member of the Sanhedrin, and he did not believe in Jesus as this Messiah. He thought Jesus was an impostor. And the way that the Jews took care of the impostors, they killed him. And everybody that he could capture that believed that Jesus was the Messiah, they were Jews. He was dealing with Jews. Jesus as the Messiah. He would capture them, and he'd string them in chains and throw them in dungeons. And then later on, they would actually kill every one of them. And he did it so much that he actually drove a large percentage of these people out of Jerusalem. And the only people that stayed there was the disciples, because they didn't want to leave Jerusalem, because they were thinking that they must have been in hiding, but they were thinking that Christ was going to come back anytime, and they were going to be a part of his government. And because they were promised that they would be sitting on thrones, and each one of them would rule one of the 12 tribes of Israel. But Saul then, was now, after he destroyed Jerusalem's church, the Jews that believed that Christ was the Messiah, he was going to go to Damascus. And on the way to Damascus, Christ stopped him. A great light came out. We see this in verse 3. It said, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there was shown around about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul, why persecute thou me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you persecuted." That the second that he saw Jesus and realized who he was, that man was saved. You see, at that time, Jews were saved by believing that Jesus was the Messiah. And there was no doubt in his mind that he was the Messiah, he was the Son of God. And that was salvation for the Jews in that time. But now, we find that after they took him into the city, he was blinded for 3 days, and a man by the name of Ananias, came to him, and that's in verse 11, he came to him, and he laid hands on him. Jesus had already talked to him, told him he was coming, and he laid on hands on him, And then he was saved. He believed, he repented for being persecuting the people, the Jews, and he repented, and he was believed that Jesus was the Messiah, and that he was baptized, and then he was filled with the Holy Spirit. That was salvation during that dispensation of time for the Jews. Jews only, but it was for the Jews, and he was a Jew. So what did he do? He went up to the synagogue right there in Damascus, and he preached Jesus. He preached Jesus was the Messiah. That's what he preached. Some believed it, and most didn't. And so the ones that didn't, they decided to kill him. And so they put guards on all the exits and entrances of Damascus. And when they did that, when he goes through there, they were instructed to kill him. But the believers in there heard about it. The believers that Jesus was the Messiah heard about it. And what they did, they waited until middle midnight till it was totally dark. And then they lowered him down a basket on the outside of the walls of the city. And there is when, there was right there at that time, was when all of a sudden things are going to be changed for Paul, or Saul. The Holy Spirit didn't send him back up to Israel to join with Peter, James, and John. He was a Jew. He was saved like a Jew. And he could preach that Christ was the Messiah, no doubt. But God says, no, you're not going there. And so let's just find out where he's going to go. Let's turn to Galatians. Now, when we're turning to Galatians, we turn to Galatians with Acts, and then we start right off with Romans, and then we turn to 1 and 2 Corinthians. We're going to the right, 1 and 2 Corinthians, then you're going to see Galatians. Galatians. Now, write this chapter down, Galatians chapter 1, and we're going to start on verse 17. Galatians 1:17. It says, neither went I up unto Jerusalem to them who were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia, and then again returned to Damascus after 3 years. He went to Arabia, and the Bible scholar says that where he went was in an area near Sinai, very likely could have been in the same exact place where Moses got the Ten Commandments from God. And he spent his time up there, and he was with Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was going to totally change the whole scheme of salvation. And he was going to set aside totally the Jewish religion as far as the rest of the world is concerned. And he was going to blind the eyes of the Jews that they would not understand. And they were set aside. And they were. And in 70 A.D., Titus came down, a Roman general, and he just destroyed Jerusalem and destroyed their temple. And the Jews were scattered all over the world. And now Paul was going to preach a whole new way of salvation, totally, and it's going to be to the Gentiles and to the Jews that would believe, but very few Jews ever did. He was going to the Gentiles primarily, and in doing so, he was calling this church the body of Christ, the body of Christ. And here we're going to get into that with what Jesus told Paul what the body of Christ was going to be like. And now we're going to turn to Colossians chapter 2. We're going to go Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, we're going right again, and Colossians. And we're going to Colossians chapter 2. And in Colossians chapter 2, verses 14, write this down. Colossians 2, verses 14. This is Paul. You can't comprehend. This is Saul of Tarsus, who is a Jew of all Jews, and this is Jesus telling him, we're going to set aside a whole new church called the body of Christ, and this is what we're not going to do anymore. We're not going to be involved in anything dealing with Judaism. Judaism was a religion. A religion was you believe God, but then you had all these things that they had to deal with. And those things that we had to deal with are not involved in the church anymore. That's why there's a total separation. That's why the people that don't know how to divide the Word of God, they take the things of Judaism and the way that people are saved during that time and try to put it in the time of the church, and it just don't fit. It doesn't fit. So, he says in 14, he says, blotting out the handwritings of ordinances, which was against us, which was contrary to us, and they took it out of the way and nailed it to the cross. What was he talking about? He was talking about the law and all the ordinances that Jews had to deal with. It was totally done away with. It has nothing to do with the body of Christ. It says, have spoiled principalities and powers, and to show to them openly and triumph over them all. You see, this church wasn't going to be had. It's not going to have high priests in it. It's not going to have Pharisees and Sadducees. And it's not going to have a hierarchy. And it's not going to have to come to a temple anymore. And have temple worship anymore. It's not going to be there. Not at a certain times of the day and everything. That they always said they'd come to the temple and pray at a certain time. It has nothing to do with the church anymore. It also said, that let no man therefore be judged on the food. As you see, the Jews had certain foods they could eat, and then there were certain foods they couldn't eat. There were certain drinks they could drink, and there were certain drinks that they couldn't drink. That won't have anything to do with the church anymore. So they're not going to have any respect for the feast days. They always had these feast days that they came. We're not involved in that. Or new moons. Now, I don't really know what that was, but it was something to deal with in their worship. Or the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day will have no effect on the church. You see, the church will not have a certain day, really. It shouldn't have a certain day that we deal with the Lord. Every day is a day for the Lord, for the believer. Every day is just as important as the other. Well, the Christians look like we've chosen Sunday. It could have been Wednesday. It could be Monday. It could be Thursday. It could be Friday. We all are supposed to gather together to uphold each other, to help us and help us grow and for teaching and learning. But it's no special day because every day is God's day as far as the church is concerned. All of these things were totally contrary to the law. You see, there was no such thing as circumcision anymore as far as we had to go through. Or none of the law anymore. We had one thing. There was only one thing that we truly had to do. And this is what Jesus gave to Paul that's going to be the basis of our basis of being a member of the body of Christ. And it was only one thing that we had to do, and that was to believe the gospel. To believe the gospel. Let's look at Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verses 11. Galatians. We're going to go back again. It's Galatians, Ephesians. We're going back to the left. Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. And we're going to start at verses 11. Write it down. Galatians chapter 1. 11. It says, you have it? Galatians chapter 1, verses 11. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which we preach, the gospel which was preached by me, is not after man. Not after man, but neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus is the one who initiated the gospel. He is the one to tell us that we should believe that Christ died for our sins and that he was buried and rose again, and that was salvation for the church. Now, Christendom doesn't believe that. 90%, maybe 99% of the Christendom now, they have been fooled by and blinded by Satan himself. Blinded by Satan himself. To put their trust not in the gospel, but to put their trust in Christ for their salvation. We say it's the same thing? No, it's not the same thing. No, it's not the same thing. Because you see, Christ was God. And it was what God did is what saved us. It's not who He is. It's what He did. You see, He died for us. If He hadn't died for us, we'd never be saved. You see, Christ could have... And when they rejected Him totally, He could have gone right back to heaven. Because He fulfilled every promise of the Old Testament. Every letter in the Old Testament that prophesied what Jesus, the Messiah, was, He was. He fulfilled it all. And they rejected Him totally. He had all rights in the world to just to leave and go back into heaven and say, they just totally rejected me. But no, He didn't. Why? Because He loved us so much. He was going to go ahead and be, and He's the only one that could be the final sacrifice for sin. Nobody could do that except Him. Because He was the only, He was true God, true sinlessness, that had no sin in Him. And He was a perfect sacrifice for mankind. And it had to be a blood sacrifice. And so He had to give up His life for us. And that's why He's pointing us to what He did, not who He was. He's pointing that He died on that cross to pay for our sins. And that He was buried. And that He rose again. That's what salvation is. And He proved it. How important is this gospel that we're talking about? How important is it? Stay right where you're at and look at verse 8. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. Write it down. You pastors that hear me, you listen to this really close. Paul says, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, that which we have preached unto you," he said, "let him be accursed." And I was told, I'm not a scholar, but he said this in the Greeks meant anathema, and that means hellfire. If you're a pastor out there preaching that you're saved by believing in Jesus, you've got a problem, a real problem. And he said it again, "As we say before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than which was you have received, let him be accursed." That's strong language. But that's exactly how the importance of the gospel is and why we should listen. If Christ came down on this earth in a human form and sat across from you in a chair looking at you right in the eye, and Christ tells you to believe the gospel that I died for your sins, that I was buried and rose again for your salvation, would you call Him a liar? I don't think so. That's what He's telling you right now. This is God's Word. He's telling you right now you should never preach another gospel than that. Nothing. Because it was only because what He did were saved. If He hadn't died, He'd still be God. But He had to die. And it's what He did, His dying on that cross to pay for our sins, is what has saved us. And He wants us to believe that. Not in His own person. To believe what He did. Because if He didn't do it, we'd still be in our sins. You've got to understand that. Not only that, we can't add anything to this gospel. Oh, we like to add things in religion. We want to do something. But you see, Christ did it all. He doesn't need no help from us. You couldn't help Him anyway. No matter how much we wanted to. He died for our sins. Just turn now We turn to Galatians chapter 5. You just go over to 5. We're still in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. Let me talk to you about this just a little bit. What is happening here is the fact that these are letters. All the letters that Paul writes are right to believers. These people, he's already been grounded in the gospel. Excuse me. And these people have been grounded in the gospel. However, this was in Galatia, which is in southern Turkey. And this is the same area that when he was Saul, before he was converted, he went and all these people fled that believed that Christ was the Messiah. They fled to that area so that Saul wouldn't catch them and put them in prison and kill them. And now, when he started his churches, he started some churches in Galatia, in some of that area. And so there were some synagogues there that were established by these people that left Jerusalem. And these Jews at that time believed that Jesus was the Messiah. They aren't there anymore. There's no synagogue that I ever heard of that now that preaches that Jesus is the Messiah, and they're Jews. They don't exist anymore. But there were some then. But anyway, he's telling them what happened was these Jews were going to the Galatian churches and tell them that we both believe in Jesus. Now, you must, in order to truly be saved, to be circumcised. And you must keep the law. And that was totally against Paul's teachings. You don't add anything to it. The gospel is Jesus Christ died for our sins, and he was buried and rose from the dead. And that's salvation. You add nothing to it, and you don't take anything away from it. But this Jewish people said, well, we come from Jerusalem, and we're abiding by the apostles, and they were actually walking with Christ, and old Paul, he's just a renegade. That's what they were telling him. Paul had to defend his apostleship everywhere he went. But what did Paul say? Let's read it. He said, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty which Christ hath made us free. We're free from circumcision. We're free from the law. And not being entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The bondage of Judaism. Don't get that. Put that in the gospel, for heaven's sakes. And he says, behold, I, Paul, say unto you, if you be circumcised, he's talking about for his salvation, Christ shall profit you nothing. He said, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law, and Christ has become no effect unto you. And whosoever you are justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. You see, he was telling you that it isn't going to work. You can't mix Judaism with the gospel. It don't work. You can't do it. Now you say, well, we're not involved in circumcision anymore. And we're not involved in the law. Oh, but there's a lot of things we could put on this. Could you say, we believe the gospel? Let's say you go to a church that preaches the gospel. And then that pastor tells you that after you preach, you believe the gospel, you walk up and say, do you believe the gospel for your salvation? That Christ died for you, that he was buried and rose again? And you said, I sure do. In your heart, yes, I do. And then he says, now you must be baptized. Wrong. Wrong. Well, the preacher told me, well, it's not for the salvation. It's just to show us that we know that he's saved. Wrong. You must not believe. You must not believe the gospel yourself, because you don't know the power of the Holy Spirit. When you believe the gospel, we just talked about that. You receive the power of the Holy Spirit, and when you receive the power of the Holy Spirit, your life is going to change. You're not going to have to show anybody by being baptized that you're a believer. Your whole life is going to change. Everybody will know. Your whole life will change. Because of what's in you, and that is the power of the Holy Spirit. You add nothing to the gospel. And if you add something, to all you're doing, even though you think you're doing right by having that baptismal there, all you're doing is putting a foothold for Satan to step in. Because you see, someday, even though you told him that your salvation is based only on your belief in the gospel, but then you went ahead and baptized him, all you're doing is down the road, somehow, some way, somebody's going to ask this man, have you been saved? And a large percentage of, well, I've been baptized. And, yeah, and I believe the gospel, too. He's equating them both the same. You know, that's totally, you don't want to ever give the devil a foothold in your church or in the gospel. Now let's turn from there. Let's turn from there to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to go back now to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're going to look at verses 13. This is what's happening in our country, in our churches today. It says, for such, chapter 13, excuse me, 11:13, 2 Corinthians 11:13. It says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ, and no marvel of this, no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if Satan's ministers also are transformed into ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Whose end shall be according to their works. You can also, I don't think we've looked at this. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 3. It says, if the gospel, I've got to slow down for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. Write it down. It says, but if our gospel be hidden, it is hidden to them that are lost, and whom the God of this age hath blinded the minds of them who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. Who is the God of this world? Satan. He has blinded those people who believe not the gospel, so that the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should not shine upon them. And that has done, it is just exactly what God has, what the devil has done in this world. Blinded them. Totally. And the angel, and these other people are filled with, not with the, with the Christ, they're filled with Satan. Because they're pointing all their people to a false gospel. Now, I want to take you to something that just most people and most Christians and most pastors have never see, that they never see. Let's turn to Romans. Let's turn to Romans. Romans chapter 2. We're going to go back to the left. Romans chapter 2. And we're going to look at verse 16. Romans 2:16, it says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. When is that going to be? That's the great white throne judgment. You see, when we're judged at the Bema Seat, it's not judged for our secrets and our minds and everything. God, we've already paid for our sins. He already paid for our sins. We're going up there perfect as far as God is concerned. And the only thing that will be judged is our works. Works that are done by the leading of the Holy Spirit, it'll give glory to God and we'll get rewards for it. Those that are done on our own, it will burn up, but yet we will be saved. We'll never lose our salvation. It never can happen. Where this is at the great white throne judgment, and that will come at the end of the millennium, and that will come to the non-believing world. Everybody that is a non-believer of the gospel is going to be at the great white throne judgment. Everyone. And guess what they're going to be judged by? They're going to be judged by Paul's gospel. By Paul's gospel. Every one of them will be judged by Paul's gospel. That if that doesn't shake up the pastors, I don't know what. Can you imagine standing there before in the great right throne judgment, knowing full well where you're at, that you have no future except the lake of fire? Everybody that goes at that place, they are lost. And why are they lost? It's because of unbelief. Unbelief in what? They're going to be judged by the gospel. Did you believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins? Do you believe that He was buried and that He rose from the dead for your salvation? And there's not one person in that at the great right throne judgment can say, I did. And if you think, you say, well, I believe that. I always believe that. Then Christ will say, for your salvation. And He'll just open up the book. He'll open up the book of life. And He'll look, and your name won't be there. And He'll say, your name's not here. Obviously, you didn't believe the gospel, or you wouldn't be here. Your name's not there, He said. He'll say, I never knew you. Depart from me. And you know where they're going? To the lake of fire, every one of them. Because they didn't believe the gospel. I'll never leave this message until I give you an opportunity. What does it take for salvation now? It's believing the gospel. And if you have been convicted by the Holy Spirit, He actually did open your minds like I prayed that He would, and you truly now believe the gospel for your salvation, what I think you probably should do is you need to get by yourself someplace. You don't have to walk an aisle. You don't have to shake a hand of a preacher. What you need to do is get by yourself somewhere, and you need to talk to God. And just tell Him, I've heard the gospel. I've been a sinner my whole life. But I know that now I know that You have paid for my sins, and that You were buried, and that You rose again. Say these words. Say them right to God, like if Jesus was standing right there. You're by yourself in your prayer closet, in your car by yourself, but by yourself where you can totally have concentration, that you can talk to God without any interruption. And just tell Him, I believe the gospel in my heart. And Jesus will save you in a second. And you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, and you'll never be the same person again. He will guide you. He'll never leave you. He will give you a total new outlook on life. And you can say, I'll become a whole new creation. All the old things, all the problems with pornography, the problems with drugs, the problems with alcohol, the problems with adultery, the problems with even lying and stealing and things that we do as human beings. These things will all pass away. Because your attention, the Holy Spirit will point you to Jesus, and He'll open up your eyes. So when you open the Scriptures, He'll just wow you. You will be able to read it and understand it. And then if you get to something you don't understand, all you got to do is say, Lord, I don't understand this. And I'm telling you, within 24 hours, may wake you up at 2 in the morning, put a verse in your mind, and you open up your Bible, and there it is, and there's the answer to it. He's done it to me I don't know how many times. He's always with you to guide and direct you. It's powerful what He's going to do for you. You don't have to be baptized to show the world that you're saved. They'll see it in your life. And isn't that what counts? It isn't being dunked in the water. People will see it in your life. And you'll have a desire to teach this word to everybody you know, to tell them about the gospel. And God will use you till the day you die. And you'll be the happiest person you've ever been in your life. Because you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is living in you. You see, the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all one, and they're all living in you by the Holy Spirit. Think about that. Think about that. My prayer now, we're going to pray. My prayer is that everybody that heard this word, that they would truly believe the gospel and that the Holy Spirit would fall upon them and would see a tremendous change in their life. They could, old things would totally pass away, Lord. I pray that you touch in each and every one of those and open their hearts to receive this gospel. I pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.